And welcome back in fourth and final hour. We are live from Jack Daniel's Barrel House inside of Bridgestone Arena on this Thursday. Nick, Braden, D-Mace, Chase, all of you hanging out with us. We appreciate it. 615-737-1025 is the number. Bottom of the hour, Hal Gill's going to join us. We'll talk some Preds with him. We've got on tap tonight, but right now we go in the locker room with D-Mace. A couple of questions for the insider perspective inside the locker room. And I know, Chase, you've got a good one. I've got one. And let's see what the people said.
You want me to start with the Twitter one?
Yeah, didn't somebody, okay. You said somebody tweeted it?
Yeah, so yep. Mary asked, for professional athletes, what is it about Nashville that keeps or invites the return of former athletes here after they have retired? There is an influx.
Yeah.
You are a prime example of that.
Well, I think the allure when, that group that was with the Titans those years, I think the allure for them was, no state tax, or either they moved here or they went back to Florida or California. The California kids, they went back to Florida. The Florida kids went back to Florida. California kids went back to California. But I think everyone else, the allure was no state tax. It's very easy to maneuver around here in Nashville. Then you build a base of people, a circle of people that you consider family, and you just want to stay. And a lot of guys have their kids here. So they just chose to stay here and raise their family. It's a good place to raise a family. So I think that's why a lot of people chose to, especially during my years, chose to move back. Now, it's no longer cheap to live here.
Well, and the Preds are a perfect example.
Yeah.
I mean, Roman Yossi's bought a house in Green Hills. You've got James Neal bought a house when he was here to sort of be here. All these Preds guys have adopted Nashville very quickly, and they're from another country.
Yeah, I think the younger guys tend to stay here because it's more they no longer have to go to Atlanta or have to go to New York or have to go to some of these more urbanized cities to have fun and
there is
Metro
a nightlife
City.
Here.
There is a nightlife
you think
here now.
You think PK has fun?
I think he does.
Probably so.
I think he's doing all right.
Yeah. So he. I mean. The allure to stay here is more than ever for the younger player.
All right, Derek, take me inside the locker room from this standpoint. Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers, right? He's got this long, drawn-out contract negotiation going on. He is talking about possible retirement, which I don't believe for a second. You ain't going to walk away from that kind of money. But how does that affect the other players in the locker room when a star player has a contract squabble publicly drawn out?
It doesn't. It's the only way it affects a player is if that said player, if he's one of those marquee guys, and it doesn't affect the smaller end guys that are making league minimum, even though that's a lot of money, that are making league minimum. It affects more that 1% of guys that are making, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, $1 million per year. They watch how you treat that guy. They watch how you negotiate with that guy. Because if you don't treat and negotiate that guy in fairness, they're more than likely are not going to sign with you. Because their thing is, well, heck, he's Le'Veon Bell, and I know everybody give kudos to Antonio Brown and Roethlisberger, but Le'Veon Bell is the guy that makes that offense go. And if you treat him that way, then, man, I'm the second guy on the totem pole or the third guy on the totem pole. Man, no matter how you're going to treat me when my time comes to sign a contract. So I think that few guys up at the top, it might affect them a little bit when you're talking how are they treating him based upon, negotiating the contract. But it doesn't affect the whole team because they understand it's a business.
Okay,
so,
and it is a business.
Things happen, and you go on about your business.
The player, and you just explained it perfectly. Every single one of these players is rooting for the player.
Exactly.
Not one of these guys is rooting for the team.
But what
Not
happens if – now, this is the offseason.
Uh-huh.
What if it spills over into camp, and there's the holdout, and he misses 2-a-days? He's not out there sweating and busting it with the rest of everybody else.
I don't care.
And what if it spills over into the regular season, and it affects the team's win-loss bottom line – when the games count.
I'm not going to blame the player.
Get your money, baby.
My thing is, y'all,
so you never, ever,
yeah, you should have, okay. You got to, because here's the thing. There's a small window. You're not a quarterback. You're not a kicker. You're not a long snapper. So, especially the running back position, there is a very small window for you to capitalize on your gain. And if you don't, then you're never going to do it. So if Le'Veon Bell has an opportunity to capitalize on the way he's been playing, he needs to capitalize on it. I don't care if he holds out. Y'all need to pay the man his money. You know, he's put in the work for us. He did exactly what we wanted him to do.
And this
pay
is,
him his money.
This is why Kevin Durant went to Golden State.
Exactly. Pay the man his
players
money.
Just apologizing for players. No, just kidding.
Think about
just
that,
pay
though.
The man his
you
money.
Mentioned kickers in there with quarterbacks.
Uh-huh.
Think about this. Ryan Succop has more job security than Le'Veon Bell.
Exactly. And it shouldn't be that way. There's no way in, on God's green earth I would take Ryan Succop before I take Le'Veon
Bell. That is not the equation.
There's no way. I would take 10 guys before I take – and no diss to Ryan Succop.
That's not the equation. He's really good.
But on the spectrum of players, I know he's nowhere on that spectrum of who I would build my team around.
And you know what? I totally disagreed with the premise that every player has job security. Ryan Succop misses 12 field goals. Next year he's gone. They cut him. Because the money's not guaranteed
but
anyway.
He has more security. If he makes 85 to 90% of his kicks, he's here no matter what.
Right. He made 83 last year.
And he's here.
It was his worst year in 4 years, technically. My point is that if all of a sudden you go all Rick Ankiel and can't get the ball over the plate, right, and all of a sudden Ryan Succop is just shanking the ball left and right.
Oh, of course.
Dude's gone. Like there's no job security in the NFL
but
for anybody.
If he's a good kicker, a steady good kicker, a guy that's going to – if he tries, you know, 10, 50-yard field goals, he's going to make at least 50% of them.
And
he's a good player. He's going to have more job security than that good wide receiver.
This is that good wide receiver. This is my problem with this argument because Le'Veon Bell has more job security than Ryan Succop.
No, he doesn't.
They offered him $70 million. He said no.
He doesn't have more job security.
This is about negotiating. This has nothing to do with job security. This is all about negotiation.
But how long will his career last?
Well, kickers last. You know, Adam Vinatieri is like
exactly.
1,000 years old, and he's still
that's what I'm talking. That's what
point.
I mean by job security. In 2 years, after Le'Veon Bell then touched the ball almost 400 times, if he dipped down, say he has 2,000 yards of total offense. After 2 years, he has 4,000. If that third year, he has 1,500 total yards. People are saying, oh, he's washed up. Get rid of him. He's dipping. But that's not the case.
If you're not producing, you don't get paid. That's
1,500 yards is producing.
Not for him.
Yes, it is.
Not if he's going for two. The point is that if at running back, if you've – like this is why DeMarco Murray's body is breaking down right now.
Yeah.
Because he had 450 touches.
No, you're right.
3 or 4 years ago. And then last year he had 350 touches or 2 years ago, I should say, 350 touches. That's why his body broke down. At running back at that position, when you are taking a beating every single day, the clock is ticking on your career. And I don't blame any team for looking at a player and guessing – whether or not that player's career is coming to an end or not. I have no problem with the team doing that. It's a gamble.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But to give – if I'm the Steelers, and I'm a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Le'Veon Bell wants $19 million a year, I'm saying no. Because he's a great, great player. But they offered him a huge contract. He said no. And if you're going to franchise him, he's going to make a ton of money. And I only think he's got a couple – I mean, how many more years has he got?
I think people look at just – the average, they don't look at the whole contract in its totality. They don't look at the wording in the contract. They don't look at all that. They just see, they just throw out the number. Oh, the Steelers offered him $70 million with, you know, 30 guaranteed over the next X amount of years. But y'all didn't see the fine print within that contract, why he chose not to sign. Not necessarily that it's the $70 million, but there are some things within that contract that a lot of players and agents just don't agree with. I think Le'Veon Bell is worth every penny that he's asking for because that team, regardless if they have Antonio Brown, regardless if they have Ben Roethlisberger, that team is a different team without Le'Veon Bell in the backfield.
All right, so that's the locker room with D-Mace. We do it every Thursday at 9 a.m. One thing that we didn't get to in this segment, I want to carry this over to the next segment. Braden, you had mentioned something interesting about Ellie Tolvanen coming into the locker room with veterans. We're going to talk about that next. We'll get back to some Preds as we lead into Hal Gill coming up at 9:30.
ET's coming, baby.
On Morning Drive. And welcome back in the Morning Drive on this Thursday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D. Mason Chase hanging out with you. We'll take you up until 10 o'clock, and that is Darren and Donick. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We've got Hal Gill coming up in just about 13 minutes. But, Braden, you had something interesting that you kind of wanted to hit D-Mace up with.
Yeah, there's two things, actually, I wanted to bring up real quickly before we get to some Pred stuff in the hockey. I want to say congratulations to our girls at the Olympics, the U.S. women's team winning the gold medal. They now have, I believe, 12 medals of
Raise
the U.S.'s
the roof.
21, which means the women are carrying us in the Winter Olympics. You women doing your jobs out there, just crushing it. Us men, as usual, coming up behind short, and we need to step up our game. So bottom line is the women are dominating in Pyeongchang and the men are not. Congratulations to the women's U.S. hockey team. They've almost have as many medals in the history. Like they have 12 medals, and I think they're one medal away from matching their medal mark.
Blame the NHL.
Like a U.S. Olympic Winter Games has never had as many medals as the women could win this year. That's a really cool thing, especially in this calendar year taking place. I think it's awesome. It's part of what makes this country so great is seeing our women's girls national soccer team go out there and dominate the world and be the best. To see the women's team finally kind of get over the hump, beat Canada, win that gold medal, really, really
cool. When is the last day of the Winter Olympics? Is it this weekend?
I want to say Friday, right? Friday, Saturday. The closing ceremonies have to be pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. It's been 2 weeks.
I haven't looked at the schedule, so it's pretty close. Also, big shout out to Nashville SC yesterday pitching a shutout against the Chicago Fire, an MLS team, the first ever shutout. Now, there's an asterisk because Nashville SC was also shut out. so when I say it was the first ever shutout in franchise history.
Both ways.
Technically, they didn't score a goal either. So,
but we're not going to go. We're not going to talk about that.
It was 0-0. It was down there at IMG Academy. This is all the analysis you're going to get. They played way up to their competition against the Chicago Fire. Congratulations to Nashville SC. I know it's still a friendly early exhibition game. Regular season hasn't got started yet, but to go against an MLS team, they had so many. They actually had. I was watching it online, NashvilleSC.com. You could watch it from IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. And they had, in the last 20 minutes, they had three or four chances to win the game. So, just listen, the talent is better on that USL team than most USL teams start with. Season tickets are available at NashvilleSC.com. You can also get opening day tickets for the opening game at Nissan Stadium, March 24th. They are going to set I'll mark the tape right now. They are going to set a USL attendance record for a first-ever home game. The record's around 20,000. I think that we can get more than 20,000 in that building. I think that we're going to set a record, and it'll be the record for the league, and Nashville SC will be doing it. We're super proud to be a part of what they're doing and really excited about it. And 0-0, first shutout, franchise history yesterday. Way to go. And they got another one tomorrow. Coming up tomorrow, like 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So they got another one.
I like how he said mark the tape.
Yeah.
Like that's old school radio right there.
Mark the tape, baby.
Mark the tape.
With an actual pen.
Do we still use tape? I don't think we do.
No.
I think it's all digital now.
Yeah, I think mark the digital.
I don't know what you're talking about. D-Mace talks about how he goes and, I'm going to tape it tonight. I'm going to miss that game tonight, so I'm going to tape it.
Be kind, please rewind. Remember those stickers?
Exactly. So, Nashville SC, another friendly exhibition game tomorrow, 3 o'clock. So, just keep tracking that. Keep an eye on that. March 24th, right around the corner, man. It's going to be a ton of fun.
All right, so you wanted to mention something about Tolvanen as far as coming up into a big-time locker room, and obviously D-Mace could expound upon that.
Yeah, I just think, and it's maybe another – when he does show up, I'd like to get D-Mace's thoughts in the locker room with D-Mace. Uh-huh. I think we can – when he does actually show up a couple of weeks from now to get a feel for what a player is going to go through as an 18-year-old stepping into a grown man's locker room full of millionaires who have competed for a Stanley Cup, that's pretty difficult. But if you missed the report, the news is yesterday, and this is from multiple sources and people in the Predators organization, that Eli Tolvanen will be a part of this team at some point down the stretch. When his KHL – the Olympics are now over for him. The KHL season ends – around the end of March, so he could be called up and be a part of this team for the last 2 or 3 weeks of the regular season, which gives him a chance to maybe be a contributing factor off the bench, an additional scoring option in certain situations. People up in the Predators organization are now saying this player will be called up and a part of this franchise. So it's going to happen this year, which is a really exciting thing, I think, for Predators fans. You can add Mike Fisher and a rising star first round draft pick, superstar prospect, and cost your organization nothing. Huge, huge win for the Predators in the last 2 months of the season.
Yeah, it can be. We hope that it is. How many games has the rookie played so far? I know he's had his KHL season. It doesn't end until, in the March, somewhere around there. But then he's been playing in the Olympics. He's played.
It's got to be, close to 60?
I'd have to double
60?
Check.
60 games.
I'd have to double check on that. Chase, maybe you can find out how many. I don't know.
Is that what I'm saying, is that the norm from him? Or is it out of because of the Olympics?
The number of games probably doesn't change because it's in the middle of the season. I don't know if the season gets put on hold or not, because I'm not a KHL connoisseur. But what I do know about the season that he had is it is the best season in the history of the KHL for a player of his age.
Okay.
And he had the second best Olympics ever in the history of the Olympics for a player of his age. So you're talking about a guy who's setting benchmarks in both the Olympics and the KHL that have largely never been seen before. Eric Lindros is the only other player that's had more points as that player's age in the Olympics, and he did it in more games. The KHL is the second biggest league in the world.
You just worry about fatigue. You worry about, him. And I'm pretty sure
he's got fresh legs, baby.
I'm pretty sure the Predators will.
I have the answer.
What's that?
He has played 47 games in the KHL.
Okay.
And a total of 61 games when you combine that with his international play. That's the under 20, that's the Olympics, that's all.
So a total of 61 games.
Which is right about where the Predators are at.
Only thing you worry about is fatigue in a young player, and then him switching basically three locker rooms in a calendar season. He would go from the KHL, then he went to the Olympics, and then he would come to the Nashville Predators. Just kind of finding his way within the Predator locker room. I'm sure they've met him before. Everybody's met him before, but actually practicing. They haven't met him either.
I don't know.
David
Poile has met him. Yeah, right. Management has, but I'm talking about player-wise.
I mean, he was here for the development camp, and, sometimes you'll have some crossover with players just getting into town. But
so he will – I mean, he will – there's a fine line on how you indoctrinate him into the chemistry of the team, the environment of the team. I know Lavi and Paul, more so Lavi, will do a wonderful job at knowing how to manage this young man, playing him X amount of minutes, putting him in situations where he can succeed, not putting him in a situation where it's just too big for him. Because whether, the KHL or the Olympics, it's not like the NHL. So you got to, when you do put this young man in it, you got to put him in a position where he feels comfortable. He feels like he can go out there and compete at a high level. But then you're putting him in a position where he can be successful. And you're asking him just to do one thing, score. That's all we want you to do is score.
Yeah, I feel vindicated in my man crush. If the Predators organization is already admitting that they're going to call him up and he's going to be a part of this team in some capacity when the rosters expand and his season's over, I feel vindicated in my man crushness on a prospect.
I'm calling you out, though, right now.
Okay.
I'm giving you the challenge. When he is called up, you're going to get the jersey?
No. I'm a grown man. I don't wear jerseys. So, other people.
I don't care.
Will you just buy it?
Wait.
What about the jersey?
Mr. Fashion,
would you get a jersey
with sweatshirts and hats? You won't wear a jersey in any capacity?
At the game, I'll
wear a
jersey.
We're talking about, at the game.
Yeah, wear it for the game.
But I don't want another man's name on the back of my shirt.
Why don't you just get
his
number?
The plain one. The problem with the number thing, like RV and Fiala changed this year.
Right.
Like, he's going to get a number because he's 19 years old. It's probably not going to be the number he uses long term in the NHL. You're not. I mean, all the good numbers are taken by all the stars. So, like, if he's going to change, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
615-737-1025. Let's say good morning to Ed in Nashville, who's up next on the game. What's up, Ed?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think that there's a wild card here that we're missing. My understanding is that his KHL team has the potential to make the playoffs in their league. And if that's the case, and they go deep into their playoffs, he may not be available until 2 or 3 weeks into our Stanley Cup run. I'm not sure, under those circumstances, you throw a kid in.
It would end sooner than that. The latest it could end, I think, is the first week of April. So when we say at the end of the KHL season, we mean the postseason as well.
Preds fans may remember, and I know this is not a great memory, but they may remember when Alexander Radulov made his return from the KHL, he did that after his team was knocked out of the KHL playoffs, and it was around early to mid-April when that happened.
So if they go all the way – then realistically, if his KHL team goes all the way and go to a championship game, realistically, when is he back?
It's early April.
Yeah, late March, early April.
Yeah, okay. It's late March, early April is the latest it could be. It could be earlier than that. I do love the conversation about which jersey would you get, though, if you're a Predators fan and I had to buy one with the name on it. It would be the Brigadier General. No question about it. I've got the bearded wonder. If I've got to buy a jersey with another man's name on it, it will say Ellis on the back of my my shirt.
All right, the Preds have the Sharks tonight at Bridgestone Arena. We will preview that game with Hal Gill coming up next. And welcome back in Morning Drive on this Thursday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've got On Tap tonight coming up in about 15 minutes, but right now we welcome in Hal Gill for our weekly conversation. He's brought to you by Midtown Express Pharmacy. Hal, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are things?
Things are great. Two games in a row, two big ones coming up. The team looking like they're getting closer to bringing in a few other pieces. What would you say right now the state of the team is as they head into a big one against the Sharks?
Pretty good. I think they like where they're at. Had a good start to the game in Detroit, which I think this time of year, a start is so important, and that's what they were looking to get. I thought they played a great first period. Fizzled out a little bit at the end. The second period wasn't their best, but I think they're going to be looking down the stretch to put in the full 60, and getting the start is huge for them.
Hal, I asked Roman Josi this last night. We asked Peter Laviolette this earlier in the show. How do you – I mean, they don't feel like they've played great hockey the last 2 weeks, so they still feel like they've got things to work on, so that's part of how you maintain focus. But knowing how to peak at the right time, like when do you peak at the right time? How do you go about doing that as a hockey locker room and a team?
Well, it's funny because talking to Roman Josi about it last night, I think the way they look at it is keep working on each aspect of their game. I think Laviolette beats that drum a lot with them. If their PK isn't good, they got to pick it up. That's their focus. And I don't think you can worry about when you peak. You just try to be the best you can every night. And the power play was struggling. They got that going the right way, doing the right things on the power play. So, I like their attitude. It's always get better and get better at everything. It's they break down their game well. They're honest. They use that word a lot about being honest about their game. Even if they're getting wins, they can do other things better. They have to focus on it, and I think that's the way they approach every game.
Now, Hal, the Predators these past six or seven games, obviously it's been a up and down roller coaster. They went into some overtime games. The last two games they did win. But if you look at these last seven or eight games, it has been a team that has shown their wear and tear. How do you as a player kind of, not get yourself in a position where the fatigue starts to set in? Because every player, you're going to go through it at some point in the season, but how do you manage to get yourself out there? Because you have no time for rest, even though Lobby gave them, the day off the ice a couple of days ago. But a day, I know it seems like a lot, but a day is really not a lot to get your legs back up underneath you. So how do you handle that part?
Honestly, I think it's part of being a pro. It's the hard part. And that's why you see some guys, younger guys especially, come into the season and, you get called up or whatever the situation, and you're playing on adrenaline and you get fired up and you can get through anything. It's the dog days of the season that are the tough ones. That's when you have to be a pro. You have a back-to-back game and then you have a day off. Yeah, you're right. A day off is only so much. You have to get back at and then it's kind of rainy today, so it's you know, you get back to the rink and you go, okay, I got to get back into gear here. It's tough. It's not easy, but that's part of being a pro. And then in the end, I think you pick something to focus on. And right now, I think they're trying to win the division. They're trying to win the conference. So that's what the focus has got to be on. And that's what, you know, it's not easy, but you got to trick yourself into getting juiced up for every game, whether it's a big game or not. You're telling yourself San Jose is a huge game right now, and we got to go out and win it. And that's the way you look at every game. And that's goes into the whole, don't, you know, when do you peak? You can't choose when you peak. You just try to be the best you can every night.
We're talking to Hal Gill here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hal, you look at, you bring back a guy like Fisher and then possibly Tolvanen coming up. If you were to add a veteran presence like that plus a young stud prospect to a team like Calgary that's got 69 points or Minnesota that's sitting on 71 points, that would be a nice infusion for a franchise. But then you look at a team like Nashville that's sitting on 81 points, how much of a position of power and luxury is it to be as good as they are right now and to add two pieces like that for the stretch run?
And to add those pieces, you're right, and to add those pieces without losing anything. I think every team right now is looking at, how can we add a piece without selling our future and without giving up? You know, draft picks are so huge, and to trade those away is tough. You don't want to give up on your future to get the now. I know David Poile wants to get this. He wants a cup this year. So he's willing to do whatever it takes. But you're right, what a luxury it is to have Mike Fisher coming back, hopefully next week at some point, to add to this team. And then Tolvanen has obviously played well in the Olympics, and he would be a great piece to add too. And you don't have to use him. You can have him around, and if you need him, then he's there. And that's a huge luxury to have. And it'll be interesting to see once we get down to it this weekend if Poile feels like he has to make a move or if he wants to make a move to get the reassurance. But it's what a luxury it is, you're right, to not have to do anything and have those power moves just sitting waiting for you with Fisher and Tolvanen.
Hal, what's the strategy with UC Saros? It's now 43 games for Pekka, 17 for UC, you know, still about that same split. What? How many times do you expect to see Lavi and the guys work in Saros over the next month and a half, and how much do you want Pekka sort of in a rhythm?
Yeah, I think that's the whole thing is, And I love when people ask me this because I know Pekka's going in there saying, I want to play every game. He's a competitor, and he wants to be part of this, and he wants to get into that rhythm. That being said, it's been so nice to have Saros go in and play great hockey. You really can use him 5, 6, 7 more times, and that's a lot of rest for Pekka. You don't have to, and I think they're going to have conversations about where he's at, how he feels. You know, if he's a little tired, they're going to say, hey, you know, if you're tired, let's have Saros play. And I think that's the conversation that they're going to, you know, Ben Vanderklok is going to be on top of him like he always is, the goalie coach, making sure that they're doing the right thing. They're getting the practice time that they need. They're working on the details. But I really think it's going to be a conversation for every game here on in. And, you know, although they do want to have Pekka in there and win every game, I don't think there's that much of a drop-off to put Saros in. You still have a great chance to win, and you saw that in Detroit.
Hal, we appreciate the time as always. Have a good broadcast tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
You got it. Hal Gill.
Yeah, only two more back-to-backs the rest of the season. So those are two guaranteed spots for Saros, but I think Hal's right. You want him in there probably. If there's 28 games, you probably want him in there 7 times, 8 times. Mm-hmm. You don't want Pekka overworked, but you also want him in that rhythm, and that's a tricky balance to find.
615-737-1025 is the number. You can follow us on Twitter at 1025_MD. When we come back, on tap tonight, right here live from Jack Daniel's Barrel House inside of Bridgestone Arena. And welcome back in the Morning Drive on this Thursday on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D. Mason Chase with you for a couple of more minutes. We'll get to On Tap tonight. But the news of the day has been Ili Tolvanen, and the reports coming out that he will be on his way up for the stretch run for the Preds. Earlier this morning, we spoke to Peter LaViolette, head coach of the Predators, for our weekly coffee with the coach, and he talked about Ili Tolvanen.
You know, those are probably questions that I can answer better once he's here and he plays some games for us. So I think you're right. At some point, we'll see him. I can tell you that his strengths are the fact that he's a skilled player. I mean, he can make plays. He sees the ice well. He has poise and patience. He has a terrific release with his shot. This is just stuff that we've seen, you know, whether it be some game footage at the KHL or certainly the Olympics, watching the shifts that get cut of him. And then, you know, this last step is going to be a big step and an important step for him. I think the level of competition will really go up here. So I think we'll figure all that out and sort that out when he gets here. But certainly a young, talented player that's able to create a lot of offense everywhere he's been, and including the KHL. I mean, he set a record for points by a rookie in the KHL. Goes to the Olympics right now. He probably still sits as the leading scorer in the tournament, and he's a real talented kid.
And that was head coach Peter LaViolette this morning with us for Coffee with the Coach. All right, so when we talk about what they're doing, again, this really just feels like a position of power. This is a luxury to have when you're playing this well. You're going to be getting a young prospect coming up, and obviously Mike Fisher coming back in a week. This team is in really, really good shape. They get the Sharks tonight, and you'll hear the game right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, let's get to On Tap tonight.
You've had a long day. It's time to see what's worth watching and what's not. Here's what's on tap tonight, now on Morning Drive.
All right, fellas, on tap tonight, we give you a chance to take in what else is out there tonight. Obviously, you got the Preds and the Sharks, that one at Bridgestone Arena, but we've got the NBA returning from their long all-star hiatus. There's college basketball. Not as good as last night, but there's still some hoops. And there's some other things. So what do we got tonight?
Well, tonight for me, obviously, the Pred game. And I will, as I said the other day, I will tape it so I can go back and watch it again. but these are the days that I like because my son and I, he's a diehard LeBron fan. So anywhere LeBron goes, he's a fan of that team. He loves the Cleveland Cavaliers, as anyone that knows me know. So he and I will be watching the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Washington Wizards tonight, or the old Washington Bullets tonight, along with possibly getting the Clippers and Golden State game in. I can get that game in because the Preds will just be ending, so I can watch that. So I will be in hockey / NBA. The NBA has been off too long for me. I need to get that fixed
well,
back in.
But they've been off for so long because Kevin Hart's still doing the
exactly.
starting lineups for the All-Star game. But
if you're going to make fun of Kevin Hart, you got to make fun of Fergie, too. Like,
yeah,
you
got to
make fun of him equally.
Yeah, she's still singing
process.
The national anthem, and he's
still
calling
going.
Out the starting lineup.
All right, so I'm ready for the Preds tonight and the Sharks. I've got the honky-tonk hat trick coming up, and then I'm going to come to the game tonight. So leading into that, for a little post-show unwinding, I will watch a little PGA Tour at 1 o'clock today.
Boy.
The Honda Classic.
Is he going to make the cut this week, Nick?
Tiger Woods
oh,
is in Florida.
Goodness.
Did I see that he's the co-captain
of the Ryder team? Did I see that, or did I
He was on the Ryder Cup team last year as like an honorary assistant.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not worthy of playing.
That's what
team.
I'm saying, yeah.
Wake me when Jim Nantz says, hello, friends, and I can see Tiger Woods' name on a weekend. Not Thursday or Friday, but on a Saturday or a Sunday, Tiger Woods is playing
Tiger Woods
at Augusta.
Right now.
I want to see him.
He is tied for fifth. He's at 1 under par through 10 holes, just 2 off the lead. So by the time I get out of here, get home, TV coverage, you'll see a little bit of Tiger, hopefully knocking on the door.
There's so many great players to watch in the PGA Tour. There are young, fun players to watch in the PGA Tour. And People are still obsessed with Tiger Woods.
He's the biggest draw.
He's the big fish. Still.
He's the LeBron James.
He doesn't
James.
Do
he's
anything.
The Michael Jordan.
LeBron James goes to the finals every
he's
year.
He's still the big fish. He
Tiger
might be
Woods
the old
hasn't
fish.
Done anything in 5 years.
He might
years.
Be the old big fish, but he's still the big fish.
He's the big cat.
Exactly.
I don't know. There's a lot
he's,
of.
He's the Moby Dick, man.
I'm,
come on.
I,
you
I get
catch
it.
Him.
I get it. I know the ratings. Yeah, I get it. Got, I, get, yeah. I get that he draws, but I'm just. There are so many fun, young, talented.
Does he still draw
Tour golfers?
Yeah, he still draws.
Oh yeah, he does. Yeah. Look at Nick.
You see the crowd. Following him?
Give me Jordan Spieth versus Jason Day versus Justin Thomas. I mean, there's a lot of good young
golfers. Oh, no, you don't got to convince me. I love the tour without, yeah. with or without Tiger, but when Tiger's there, it's the added bonus.
Yeah.
Like I said, I want to see it on a weekend. He missed the cut last week. You tried to sell it on me last week, and he missed the cut. I'm all in on some alpine skiing tonight, baby. Winter Olympics.
Yeah, you're gonna rip
but I'm
me
going,
for watching
but I'm
Tiger
going
Woods,
no,
but
I'm
yeah,
hockey.
You're all in on alpine skiing.
Exactly.
I mean, you're kidding me.
It's once every 4 years. Goodness. Did you see? Do you see how fast they go down the mountain? They could. This is. They're in tremendous peril. They're in tremendous peril going down the mountain at like 100 miles an hour.
This is just outrageous.
You don't like the – I cannot believe I work on a radio show with the only three human beings that don't like the Olympics. I don't understand.
I never said I didn't like it. But
I just don't find it intriguing. Other than the kid from California, the Borden kid from California, the girl. What's her name?
Chloe Kim.
Yeah, Chloe Kim. Other than that,
I guarantee Michaela Schifrin is awesome. Lindsey Vonn is awesome. The women's hockey team.
Lindsey Vonn, she probably broke every bone in her body.
That is so rude.
She did. It's true.
But that was like earlier in her career.
More people care about Tiger Woods than they do the Winter Olympics.
I totally disagree on that.
I'll tell you what.
More men care about Tiger Woods. More people care about the Winter Olympics.
We will open tomorrow's show, and we will talk Tiger Woods, or we will talk Winter Olympics. And I bet you if we chose between those two, management would rather us talk Tiger Woods.
That's men. You said more people care about it. That is not true.
Here's what I care
women
about.
Women love the Olympics.
Management would rather you not do
here's what
women love the Olympics.
Here's what I care about.
And women make
how
up
do you
more.
Know women love the Olympics?
Because the ratings for the Olympics are sky high.
How do you know it's women that are watching? Only women.
I didn't say only women.
You said women loved it.
No, okay, guys. What he said is that people.
Yeah, people.
And people includes women, which is more than half the population. And the Olympics draws much higher ratings than the PGA Tour does because women watch the Olympics and women don't watch the PGA
Tour.
It's
not based upon half of the population. If I got 100 people watching television, all 100 people are watching television, the ratings are going to be up, it regardless of whether it's men or women.
You guys are missing. Like,
no, we're not missing a point.
Oh, God.
I can tell you this. If you guys wanted to do an event, like an alpine skiing event, you ever seen the Simpsons episode where Homer goes skiing and he's going down the mountain and it just keeps hitting him in the bad place?
Yes, yes.
That would be me.
Exactly.
And then I would probably die.
Nick, to your point, I think if you're talking about the male demographic, yes, more men care about Tiger Woods than the Winter Olympics. But the Winter Olympics crosses over to all demographics is my point. That's the difference. The PGA Tour does not.
You know what crosses over to everybody's interest? The stupid poll question of the day.
Yes.
And Chase has an update.
I do. I have the final update. What do you do when you're giving extra change after buying something? So somebody gives you a little more than they should. This happened to me this morning. My total was $371. I paid with a $5, and I got $4 back, so it was way too much.
Yeah.
So I returned it. So I asked that question. Do you keep it? Do you return it? 52% of you say you return it. Only 52%
of you. 48%
of you,
Nashville, are morally morally bankrupt. 48% of the city.
Come on, America.
And I am one of them.
We're better than that.
Man.
If it's $2, I'm keeping
it. So is that $2 going to make or break you, Braden?
No.
It might make or break that person behind that cash register.
But it's – no. If it's like 20 or 30 bucks and the register's off, then they're getting in deep trouble. But $1, $2 on the cash register, you're not getting fired over $2.
If it's happened – one or two times.
Then you probably shouldn't be doing the job if you're giving the wrong amount of money out. When do we have that discussion?
Hey, man, just give them the money back.
If you keep getting the change wrong, you either need to go back
give
to
them
school.
Give the money back.
Or you
it
need
should
to stop
be easy because the machine
register.
Tells you how much to give back. Yeah, so it should be easy.
I'm with you on that, dude.
All right, that'll do it for a Thursday edition of Morning Drive. We'll be back tomorrow. Big show. Paul Feinbaum, Daniel Jeremiah, amongst many big guests tomorrow on the show. We thank head coach Peter LaViolette for our Coffee with the Coach segment presented by Dunkin' Donuts. And, of course, Hal Gill from the Predators Radio Network. Darren and Donick are coming up next live from inside of Jack Daniel's Barrel House in Bridgestone Arena on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, I love y'all.